If you haven't visited our website lately and explored all the things that are there, it is chock full. It is rich with opportunities, all sorts of things there, information, pictures. Why don't you check it out this week? There are Bible study tools. There are links to other ministries that are there. Make use of that. And make use of those daily study guides that we send out every day. Rick puts those together. They are fantastic. Yes. I mean, go and look at what other ministries, that have these huge budgets, big staffs do. I mean, it is, he does a great, great job with that. And if you're not getting it for some reason, let's get your email address, your current one. I mean, the one you have this week. Because some of you change email addresses very quickly. And we might have, might just have one letter that's out of place there. So make sure we have that. And also, I've said this to you before, we don't have 10,000 meetings during the week. That's not our church. That's not who we are. Hadn't been who we are from the beginning. We basically do a large group thing, one wing over here every week, and a small group thing over here, which is being part of a life group. And, a few other things around, but that pretty much is how it goes. And we encourage you to become involved in both and, not either or. And so if you're not part of a life group, I encourage you to, there's a list on the back there of your bulletin. Talk to one of the pastors or with our life group leaders that are in here right now. Would y'all just raise your hand? All right, see some of these people that... And I'm glad to see that Daniel raised his hand as a life group leader over here. Oh, yeah, that's right. All right. We've been in a series of messages entitled Faith for the Times. Times are different now, aren't they? A lot of things going on. A lot of things around us. And we're dealing with it. Had his pastor tell me, it's been several months ago now. I said, so how are you dealing with things right now? How's your church? He said, oh, things are clicking along. I said, we hadn't seen any difference. And I thought, liar. To admit to you what I thought. And I got out of that conversation as quickly as I could because I don't believe that. I don't believe that. All the people that I know and love and see and, around, it's a definite difference that is right now. We've been looking into God's Word. We're seeing things there that apply to us in the times in which we live. And the title of today's message is Salt and Light. Now, wasn't that a great visual that... Rick had each week, this week, that light bulb with the salt shaker on the end. Great, great stuff. We'll read this passage from Matthew in just a moment. But before we do, just so you'll get the salt image in your mind pretty well, I went to the new standard of information in the world. And what is that? Wikipedia. But I remind you that disclaimer statement that they put on there, not necessarily vouching for the accuracy of all their information. In fact, that's a statement that ought to be on everything that you read, no matter who you get it from. They couldn't necessarily vouch for the accuracy of all the statements that are contained therein. But I looked up salt. And I found out some interesting things about salt. Number one, it's essential for life. Did you know that? You've got to have salt. fact, some of the old trade routes that go back ancient times were actually salt routes, where they hauled salt. It's absolutely necessary for life, but we have to have it in small quantities, because what happens if you get too much of it? It'll destroy. In excess, it'll kill us. It is the oldest food seasoning that we know of. Now, try to think of a nice, juicy steak on the grill without some kind of salt. Now, I know some of you put this other thing on there, and you say it's not salt. Well, it just comes out of a different kind of container. Because in that, if you look on that seasoning, in most cases, you're going to have sodium chloride, which is salt. The word salary comes from Latin for salt. They paid the Roman soldiers a salary, an amount of money, which they bought salt with for their diet. With that in mind, let's read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But the salt has become tasteless. How can it be made salty again? Is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Literally, it ought to say, by the men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, right now, I pray for revelation from your word for us. We pray for freedom to hear from you right now, Lord, that you'll take all the other voices away from us. In any way the evil one has tried to influence us, to move our attention to other places, we have a divine appointment with you right now. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Come now. Come, Lord, and unveil your word, unveil truth before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, you, and we'll get back to this, but the first word in the sentence that was written there in the original language is the word you. And it's written out as if to say it was understood in the verb as it originally was there. But they write it out for special emphasis. And in this case, it's written out, you. In fact, when he says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, that's where he's starting. You. So in other words, attention, this is a special word for it. This is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, just after the Beatitudes. And Jesus is getting our attention. You are the salt of the earth. Now what does salt do? Well, it's a preservative, right? You salt down meat. You use it in so many ways. Cultures all over the world have mined and used salt. It's a part of our daily diet. It provides taste. And a little bit goes a long way. And if you want to get an example of how just a little bit too much salt will affect you, have you gargled with salt lately? Salt water? Man, You get just a little too much. It's already, you know, all that salt makes you gag. But you get a little too much and ugh. Mm. A little goes a long way. It's invisible. Can you see it? Can you see it after it's sprinkled on something? And in fact, how many of you have mistakenly put salt in your coffee instead of sugar? Yes, sir. You've done that before. It's necessary for everyday life, and in all that he's speaking about salt, can you see the point he's making about salt is more of a private and a personal nature. Now let's see those things applied to the life of a believer. He says, you, speaking to us, you're to be a preservative. How are you a preservative to those around you? Do you believe that? What if today you took all the practicing Christians out of this culture? Just like that. What would it be like? Think what your job would be like. Think, just take them all out. So, as a believer, are you a preservative? Are you a preservative to those who are around you? And what are you preserving? You are preserving the plan of God. You're preserving the truth of God, the law of God, His will and way. Think of what it would be. Suddenly, it provides taste. Does a Christian living his life out in culture today provide taste to things, to life? Or do you change things? Can, you know, just as salt can change a meal, just a little salt on something, on some food, can it change the character of everything? You bet it does. Think of eating a potato. A baked potato without salt. A little salt. Now, think of how you, God has called you to affect the lives of those that are around you, where you work, where you live. Now, on the one hand, does that mean you come and dump the whole salt shaker on them? Now, something that would be like that would be tantamount to coming in with your stack of Bibles and beating people over the head with Jesus. And every time they turn around, you know, you're speaking this Jesus to them, you know. You know, they come out in the morning and there you are to get the paper, and there you are standing there telling them, Jesus saves. You know, you're waiting on them. You know, that's dumping the whole salt shaker out. But what happens all those other times when you have a chance to be the seasoning in a very tasteless culture where truth comes through you? And they're having a discussion at the water cooler or at the coffee pot at your office or at the job, and something comes up and there's a pregnant pause in the air, and you have a chance to speak truth. See the difference? A little bit goes a long way. It's invisible. And oftentimes, we are invisible. Much of our calling as Christians, we're invisible. We're there so that And in fact, what God's called us to be is not to put Dusty out there, but to put Jesus out there. As He walked with His disciples through towns and villages and all, so many times it was just so natural. It was just a part of everyday life. Your life and your witness. Not some production. What does He say about salt? But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by the men. You see, if we're not being that, all that I just said, a preservative, if we're not essentially, if we're not practicing our Christianity, then do we really even belong to Jesus? Have we ever known Him? If it's just something you talk about, do we really know Him? The verses before, in verse 12 it says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And then he goes on in verse 17, the following verses, "Do not think I came to abolish the law and prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Truly, truly I say unto you, not the smallest, not a jot or tittle is going to pass away of what the Scripture was said." So sandwiched in between here, these evil, and that's why I think he's speaking especially, the evil men, if we're not practicing our Christianity, not being salt, we just get thrown out and we're just like everybody else. And let me tell you, the world will just trample you under, will they not? They already know that your identity and who you are. You see, if we're being Christ out there in the world, then we're different. Our lives are different. We're seasoning the world. Not being obnoxious in Jesus' name, but we're seasoning the world. Well, if we're not being that, it's going to be thrown out. We're no different. Making no difference in the world. He says, "You're the light of the world." Now here, now we go from a very personal, even almost invisible substance that has effect. Now he's talking about, bing, you're light in darkness. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but under a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. This statement is very outward bound of our witness and who we're called to be in society and in the world in which we live. It's showing off what Christ has done in our lives, where our lives do become a witness, where we open up our lives and they see us as belonging to Jesus. And they see that there's something different in our lives. Now think about it. In many cases, in our country, in our state, in our city here, the reason a lot of people aren't following Jesus, aren't coming after Jesus, is because they look at our lives and they don't see a difference. They don't see the power of God. They see a form of godliness denying the power thereof, where there's not a difference in a person's life. And I'm not talking about this holier-than-thou attitude. I'm talking about kindness and love and putting others before yourself. It shows off, the light shows off what God has done when you turn on the light. The light reveals the true nature, our true lives. There's no secret about it, being the light of the world. And in that light, Paul would later reflect on this and say, we're like luminaries, like the moon. We reflect the source. You know, the moon doesn't shine. It reflects the light of the sun, the S-U-N. And see, we're to be luminaries like that as we reflect the light of the S-O-N to the world. Light, shining. It's not secretive. It shows off, and the light shows off our congruence, our consistency. It shows, the light shows that what we said yesterday matches with what we're doing today. Does that make sense? What if that started happening in Savannah, Georgia? What if that became the rule of thumb for the body of Christ? Not making our little kingdoms inside our church buildings, you know, like this, having this this fortress mentality. I love what Frank Tillipaw said years ago in his book. He said, we're like in this fortress mentality. We're behind the walls and the world is out there and we're in here. He said, and occasionally we throw a gospel grenade over the fence, you know. Boom! And yeah, there's collateral damage with that when you throw that out there. Because it's easy to hide behind the walls. It's easy to have our big meetings. It's easy to have our stuff. We pat ourselves on the back. I was at an evangelism rally one time, and you had the main preacher, and then you had all these platform preachers, you know. You know what a platform preacher is. Okay. Y'all probably haven't been to any of those meetings before. But anyway, they're whooping it up up here and all that, and they forgot that the rest of us were here. They were so involved with each other, they forgot anybody else was here. Well, it would be easy for me to jump on them with both feet, but you know what? That was a look in the mirror for me. Easy to forget. When all of my energy is directed at that unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. Now, what happens when you put a lot of these lights together that are shining, these luminaries? You can light up a room. You can light up a city. Light in darkness. And the darker it is, the brighter the light shines. That's what God's called us to be. And what does He say comes out of that? He says, people will see that and they're going to immediately say, now I'm going to give you the fuller interpretation of this. They're going to immediately give glory to God. They're going to glorify the Father. Well, here's what happens. Here's the thought process. They say, well, you know, I know Dusty. I know what Dusty used to be. I know what a dirty, low-down, good-for-nothing he used to be. And I know that the actions that are coming out of his life right now, the love that pours forth from his life, the kindness that comes out of him, I know that Dusty didn't think that up. I know that Dusty doesn't have the power to do that. I know that that can only come from the wind from elsewhere. That can only come through the miraculous power of God, that God has done something in Dusty's life. Do you see that? And people admit, they see, and then they begin to give glory to God. And then the ground is level because we all know that if Jesus hadn't have come into our lives, we too would be separated forever from Him. It's only through His power. The power of the risen Jesus who changes lives, who changed my life. And you see, this thing of, he talks about putting the, and it's not a candle, by the way. That's King James application. It is a lamp. It is a lamp that burns olive oil. See, you're talking about two everyday substances, salt and olive oil. And they're burning it. And they he says, intentionally, you put it on a lampstand. Why? To give the most light. The higher you get it, the more light. You've got to be intentional about that. So you see, it's this both and. It's being private, yes, but like salt, you're invisible. But then you're also promoting Him. But in the process of promoting Him, you've got to be willing to lay your life down. Yeah, they're looking at you, but they're really not looking at you. They're looking at Jesus in you. Do you see that? Now, where the devil turns it, especially in our culture, is that we have a lot of people saying, yeah, look at me. That is not what Paul meant when he said, look at my life. That's not, so don't quote that one to me. That's not what he meant. He wasn't saying, look at me. He was saying, look at the Jesus in me and how Jesus has changed my life. Make sense? Now, let's look at salt and light together. Not either or, but both and. God's called us to be salt and light, personal and corporate. What if you didn't have salt? And what if you didn't have light? Our contemporary culture does not appreciate the value of these two items because we have had them in uninterrupted supply in our lives. It's like that with a lot of things in our life. What if you didn't have salt? We've never had the lack of either one. Such abundance. Light? Our first trip to Nigeria with Dr. Okere, they were trying to explain to us that electricity was available at part of the day. Now, what I didn't understand was that part was not this big, but it was about this big. And in fact, some days, it averaged out about an hour a day. And if you were on the end of the string of wire for the generator, the diesel generator for whatever compound you own, the lights, the farther you got away from the generator, the dimmer your light got. Now see, there are about three or four people in this room right now that understand what I'm talking about. Because you've never experienced that in your life. You've always done this. And the light came on. But what if it didn't? What if it didn't? I was 10 years old. I was playing a baseball game. My first game under the lights. Gary Brown was pitching. Had a great fastball. Had a little tail to it. And a good changeup. I was catching. We were out at Starland Dairies. They had a lighted field out there years ago. We were having a good time playing a tournament, an all-star team. We thought we were big stuff playing under lights. Man, what a joy. In the middle of it, though. Gary's pitching a great game, and he gets about right here with one pitch, and he releases it. The ball released from his hand, and then something happened. All the lights in the stadium went out. Now, there's no ancillary light because we were out in a cow pasture in Starland Dairies out there. So there was no other light. So the only light for that whole area were the lights that were on those poles. So there was immediate darkness. That darkness was so immediate that it's like your life's going in slow motion. I remember thinking, I'm going to put my glove where the ball is supposed to be. I felt it, boom, hit my glove. I grabbed it, and I stood in front of the plate thinking, man, darkness would be a great cover for somebody to steal home because the bases were loaded. And then the next words I heard was a familiar voice from my mother. Just so you know, my brother's name is Vic. He's 7 years my younger. I heard my mother say, "Where's Vic?" About an eternity passed, someone finally got to the light pole and they switched the lights back on. And I looked back and there was my brother. He was four years old. He was sitting right next to my mother. In fact, they were joined. And he was about that white. The people there, they didn't know who had done it, but I did. You see, light matters, doesn't it? And it especially matters when you don't have it. It changes everything. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." He said, "You are." No ifs, ands, or buts. And when Jesus says that, "You are," you know, I'm kind of taking that seriously. And he says, "You are the light of the world." It's time to stop pawing the ground with false humility and giving God a load of excuses about what you can and can't do. It's time to embrace what He said you and I are. You are salt and you are light. It's time to start sprinkling. It's time to start shining. Not with somebody else's personality. Not with the way they do it. But with your God-given, Holy Spirit-endowed gifts, which are many. What will you do about it? It's time. Our world is going to hell in a handbasket. Our city is suffering right now. Crime. Families. Just think about it. All the junk that is going on. It's time for the lights to be switched on so the roaches will run. Kill all you can, but make them run. That's what happens. What will you do about it this week? We're going to open the altar. And I know this message today has been for believers, but if you've never trusted Christ in your life, today I want to say to you, Jesus loves you. And He loves you so much He died in your place on the cross. And He arose on the third day. He ascended back to the Father. He sat down. His work was completed. And receives all that will come to Him in faith and trust, who will just trust their lives with Him, because He's coming back to get His church. And He's coming back real soon. It's time for the church. I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about kids here who know Jesus. I'm talking about young people here that are seated here today. It's time to start. Well, I can't do that. I'm too young. No, you're not. You have Jesus. He can use you powerfully if you let Him. The altar will be open. You can come and pray. You and the Lord do business. There'll be people here to pray with you. Lord, I thank You for all the things You've done in our lives, for all the things right now You're doing in the earth, and You're letting us be a part of them. Lord, a faith for the times, trusting You every day, Jesus. You called on us, Lord, to be Your light, to reflect who You are to the world. How shall they hear, Lord, unless we be faithful to show them the way? Lord, get in a language we can understand. Lord, I want to thank You for those who were faithful in my life to be salt and light. And the people sitting in this room here who would not be here today, who would not have Jesus in their life if it had not been for the faithfulness of other people sitting in this room today who've been salt and light to them. We love You, Jesus. The altar's open. Look this way, if you will. Man, I got that anointing oil all over my hands. You better not shake hands with me today if you don't want to be anointed. Like that guy with the guy's pickup truck out in Colorado, 55-gallon drum of anointing oil and anointed the streets of his city. He anointed them so well that there were people just sliding all over the place in the name of Jesus as they went everywhere. It's great to see Lamar here today. God bless you, man. Glad you're back with us today. What a blessing. And glad to have the Rockwell family with us. And they're going to be here for a couple of weeks. What, Daniel? And Daniel's got a new job now. He's making a lot of money now. Then I'm going to invest wisely for him. Right, Daniel? That's the deal, isn't it? We'd like to get those cards from you, or if you have an offering to bring, their baskets up here and in the back. So on the way out, if you will, let's get those cards from you so we'll know how to pray with you. I want to pray this prayer to send you out today. Lord, now, Lord, we yuck it up over the anointing of Jesus, but Lord, I'm asking that anointing on us. Empower the presence of Jesus upon us, Lord, that we can be salt and light as we go. In the power of the Holy Spirit,
all of His gifts. Lord, You are riding through this land and You're doing a great work. And Lord, we join You today as we send out in the name of Jesus. Amen.